So I made a change this weekend. Remember that story we talked about Comet?
Yeah.
Cleanser?
Yeah, you know, it's the only bathtub cleaner for black folks.
Yeah. Well, I have changed my ways. I bought some scrubbing bubbles. That stuff is amazing. It's amazing. I mean, a lot less elbow grease I had to put in. I didn't feel like I just had a workout. Comet, I mean, you feel like Mr. Miyagi and Karate Kid. I'm all like, you know, wax on, wax off. Your shoulders are sore. Scrubbing bubbles, you just kind of spray it. And as they say, set it, forget it. Just like wipe it down. Spotless.
So now you're a little boosty. Just wipe it down. That's it.
Yeah. Just kind of just like, yeah. Yeah. Wipe me down.
So Terrell has gone from Comet to scrubbing bubbles. Next thing you know, you're going to tell me you don't wash your legs.
That I don't wash my legs?
Yeah.
No, the soap rinses down. You don't have to do that. It takes care of it for you.
Jesus I'm joking. Christ. He's I'm lost. Joking. This podcast is over. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and just overheard a couple people having just crazy conversations?
Well, we're those couple of people, and we've been having those crazy conversations since college.
Yes, this is the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 6.
So, obviously, scrubbing bubbles made you smile, but what else made you smile this week?
You know, I did a lot of good things this weekend, but the one of the things that I did is finally bought a better camera for my computer because I was tired of looking like crap compared to you and what you had. And I had enough people that would message me and say, hey, I like your podcast, but you need to fix your camera.
You're going to need more than a camera for me to not look better than you. Okay.
No, it's just a little camera setting. That's all. See, now we're, I think it was like this. Now that I got this camera, it's kind of like that. Just a little bit higher.
In your mind.
Yeah. So I feel like it looks a lot better. So I've heard the words, I've heard all the feedback. I received the text messages. I fixed it. Sorry. I was busy. Didn't have time to go to Best Buy.
Well, I'm glad you fixed it. Cause yeah, now we can actually see you.
Yeah. 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 And see behind me. So now I got to make sure, you know, I kind of keep it tight, which I tend to do anyway, but still.
Well, like, who's that walking behind you?
What about you? What made you smile this week?
Well, you know, so there's been this, I love these challenges on social media that I usually don't participate in. But this one, you've seen even throughout the NFL this weekend, how it started versus how it's going, right? Mm-hmm. So my wife and I decided to do it. So put up my post and we started on DMs. How we started was messaging. We were, I like to say she slid into my DMs. She likes to say I went in hers first, whatever, you know, tomato, tomato, whatever.
That's so cute.
But, you know, after she hit me with the welcome to Detroit, I'm like, hey, what's there to do? You know, so she hit me with a couple of things, a couple of restaurants, a couple of places to go see. And of course, places to eat. She's like, I love these places. So, of course, being the gentleman that I am, as a thank you for suggesting these wonderful places, I invited her to join me. Of course. The rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, it happens like that sometimes. So.
So basically, we started talking about food. We got together talking about food. And what brought this back up was because we had a conversation the other day when she's back at work. Because I'm working from home. But she sent me a text the other morning and said, left my Hot Pocket. And I was like, oh, want me to eat it for you and tell you how delicious it was? Because, you know, of course, that's what we do. That's how generous I am. But her reply was rude. I'm like, well, that's my last name. Her reply, and this is why we get along so well, was a simple emoji with the middle finger. I'm like, baby, I love it.
Something tells me that's not going to be the first or last time she's going to give you the middle finger.
Oh, hell no. Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah. But I think the real question I have is, why are y'all eating Hot Pockets, man? Is everything all right?
Yeah.
Y'all good over there? I'm just saying, if you need me to spot you a couple bucks, Hot Pockets, ramen noodles, you're eating college food.
Well, you know, let me explain something to you real quick. If you're willing to give up a couple thousand, we'll take it. We got a baby here.
I told you, cloth diapers. Cheaper than spending all that money on Pampers. I mean, go old school.
And let's be real. There's nothing wrong with Hot Pockets. So stop your bougie shit.
I can't help it.
Next thing you know, you're going to say you don't eat ramen noodles anymore.
No, I don't. I don't eat ramen noodles. Yeah, no, I don't eat ramen noodles. I think similar to what I told you when I introduced you to some better whiskeys, it's like we're adults now. You got to step it up.
Well, I'll tell you who needs to step it up, man. We got to get into politics as usual.
Yeah.
And they stepped it up with this dueling town halls in place of the second presidential debate. You watched
right.
it?
I did. And it was, it's funny. They're both at the same time. Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest. Every time, you know, Trump speaks, you're going to hear some gems. You're going to hear some stuff. And Biden, when you listen to him speak, it's just boring. there's not a whole lot of like crazy viral things that come out of his, but it's all the extra stuff that happened around it. So with Trump's, you had the lady that was kind of trying to holler at him, you know, just, oh, your smile. Yeah, she shot her shot. She's like, I know your wife is still a little sick with the COVID, so I'm available. Because I know, you know, you kind of step out on her when she's
happy
down.
Happy birthday, Ayo. Mr. President.
But I love the Candace Owens with the mask on in the background. Just
oh,
like,
my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what was that really Candace Owens?
No, I'm just joking. I tease.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was, though, because that person was nodding and shaking their head on cue for everything that he said. If he said something that was pro-Trump, that was a very solid nod. Then if it was something that, and then they say, and I was really starting to wonder if it was a real person or not, because they were just on it. But I will say this, I agree with you. The Biden town hall was pretty dry. And it was dry because he stuck to policy, you know,
right.
Talking to people, answering the questions and getting straight to the point. On the other hand, you've got old reality TV over here who is going to give you whatever's on the top of his mind. Because I've got to give Savannah Guthrie a lot of points for what she did, because she stayed on him. She grilled him. She didn't let him just get away with trying to evade questions. You know, some of the things he said, like, you know, ballots with my name were found in the garbage, thousands. And she's like, no, they weren't. Where's the evidence? She stayed on him, addressing controversial tweets. She asked him about controversial retweets that he did. And he's like, well, I didn't write that tweet. It was a retweet. People can decide for themselves. And her response is that you're the president, not mm-hmm. somebody's crazy uncle, which I'm sorry. He is still somebody's crazy uncle. But I like the fact that she stayed on him and didn't let him just get away with it, to the point he's like, now you always do this. You always do this. Well, yeah, because you're supposed to answer the question, even though
you always do this.
Exactly. I will say, when it comes to evading questions, Biden has done a lot of evading questions as well, too. And yeah. even Senator Harris. Has also, Senator Kamala Harris has also done the same thing in avoiding certain questions when talking about packing the courts. And of course, they were going to hold him to that. So he knew he had to come up with an answer for it. And mm-hmm. I like the fact that he said, he gave an honest answer, which is, I can't tell you yes or no right now. It depends on what happens in the next coming weeks and whether Barrett gets confirmed, which mm-hmm. is a real answer. It's an honest answer. And I go, okay, at least as honest as a politician can give you. So,
right. Yeah. I mean, it's politics. So they're definitely got to keep some stuff close to the vest. I'm not going to be as transparent. No politician ever is. Mm-hmm. Obama wasn't. Nobody is 100% transparent in politics, because you can't be.
Exactly.
And so I don't hold on, you know, I don't hold to that. Whether someone's going to pack the courts or not has not really impacted my decision on who I vote for.
You know, the interesting thing about packing the courts is they, I saw this article the other day, and I remember this popped up because so many lower court appointments that Trump made. And the reason being, and he's talked about this before, he's like, when I got into office, there were over 100 court appointments that weren't done. And I don't know why Obama didn't do it. Maybe he just didn't have time. Actually, they were blocked mm-hmm. by your Republican friends who said, no, we're not going to allow you to put anybody on these courts. And then they allowed, that's why now he can boast, I've put more judges on benches than any other president. Yes, because by design of we refuse to work with President Obama. And if you remember correctly, Mitch McConnell said when President Obama went in, it was like, we're going to be the party of no. Our goal, our only goal is to make him a one-term president.
And now it's kind of like doing a quick mad grab, right? Like, how do we quickly make an impact on certain voters or certain people's opinions? You have the whole Ice Cube thing. And that whole, and how that's blown up. And totally, I can relate and see both sides of why people are giving Ice Cube shit. But I can see both sides of it. But even that's a mess. That's a mess. And to me, the Democrats missed an opportunity.
Yeah. But okay. So let's go back to the beginning of that. Because how did we know that Ice Cube met with the Trump campaign? We knew because of a tweet and from Katrina Pearson, right? And you know Katrina Pearson, and this tweet did exactly what she wanted it to do, which was to garner this type of reaction from especially Black Twitter and from Black people as a whole. But I'm trying to find a tweet here, and because what she said was just so so she goes, shout out to Ice Cube for his willingness to step up and work with Donald Trump administration to help develop the Platinum Plan. In case you missed it, she posted a link to it, then goes, leader's going to lead, haters going to hate. Thank you for leading. Then the black fist. That, first of all, that last little bit was meant to set people off. But the first part of it is misleading. Because to help develop the Platinum Plan, he didn't help them develop anything.
Nope. Not at all.
Us to fall for this trick. You don't believe anything else they tweet, but you want to believe this?
Right.
Come on, man.
Yeah, no, totally. It's not true. And people think that Ice Cube is in cahoots with, you know, the Republican Party. And he had that interview he did with Cuomo where he was coming out saying, hey, I'm not a part of any particular group. I'm willing to work with people who are willing to listen. And I agree with that, too. But also, I saw the reality of it, of if you're in the Trump campaign and you need to generate some more black votes, because, you know, we're black, we're going to be like, well, Ice Cube likes them. Well, then right on, because we don't think for ourselves. So there's that. But then on the flip side of that, I'm like, if you really want to see how you can help black people, how does Ice Cube speak for Black America? You know, why not get with different, you know, the leaders of the Urban League and NAACP and get with those folks and get some concrete things? And then what did y'all talk about and what did we walk away from? Right. We don't even know that. We just know they had a conversation. But people are up in arms thinking Ice Cube sold out. And you have the Democrats, to me, who when same opportunity to talk to Ice Cube, they said, we'll talk after the election, which, again, that's the problem that some of the Democrats have. That was a perfect opportunity to say, well, yeah, you and the Republicans talked. We talked, and here's our plan based on the conversation that we had. Again, I don't see how you go to Ice Cube and ask him to speak on behalf of all black people. You know, I've never like gone to any of my Hispanic friends and be like, so why do y'all like that, you know, tajin stuff on everything? Why is that a thing? And ask one Hispanic person, they're going to speak for all Mexican people? No.
Come on. You speak for all black people. You know that.
No. No, I don't. I sure don't.
I will say this, it was definitely a very strategic move by the Trump campaign to get Cube, because Representative Sheila Jackson Lee said that this Platinum Plan looks very familiar. The CBC, Congressional Black Caucus, had presented a plan to them since Trump first got into office. He never spoke to them. He didn't want to talk to them about it. And so therefore, oh yeah, we've seen this, but you never talked to us. But now you talk to Ice Cube about it. But that was used for simply to divert us from whatever else is happening. And whenever stuff like this happens, I go, what else is happening? And what are they trying to hide? And at the same time, I see a lot of people on Twitter saying, oh, well, he doesn't speak for us. And I'm like, you weren't saying that when he first came up with the contract with Black America. And if you're just going to complain about what's happening and not have a plan, he has a plan. And his plan was, here's what I'm laying out as my contract with Black America. He didn't say, you need to follow this. This is what all black people want. No, this is his idea. right? Mm-hmm. And he put it out there. The Democrats reached out, said, let's talk after the election. And the Trump campaign said, hey, let's talk now. People are saying that he shouldn't have spoken with them. But I go, wait a minute. How do you complain that someone is not doing anything, yet if they reach out to talk to you, you don't talk to them? And I have this conversation even with my coworkers at times. If something is broken in the studio, and he's all right, so, and I've had this in so many different markets. Something's broken in the studio, and I say, hey, what's wrong with this? Oh, well, it's been like that for like 6 months. Did anybody tell engineering? Well, they never fix anything. Did you tell them? Yeah, we did 6 months ago. And did you tell them again? You know, so yeah. I've got a policy in place where if something is wrong, even if they're working on it, you've spoken to them in person, send them an email. Hey, as we said, this is what's going wrong. And CC me, because you've got to find a way to get to the end. Because at least now you're holding them accountable. Here's the thing. If Trump wins and he meets with them already, they do nothing, you've at least given the opportunity to say they haven't done this.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just say they're not going to do anything and never present the idea, never have the conversation. You can't just talk to people you agree with. You've got to talk to people that you don't agree with sometimes too.
Well, I think you do, but I think you hit the nail on the head with the accountability piece. And so if you talk to the camp, you can't hold the person accountable. So regardless of what president wins, if you don't actually meet with the president and they say verbally, yep, you know what? I am going to work on this. I'm going to sign up to this person. And here's going to be the plan. Now you hold them accountable. If you just meet with some of their people and you don't even know the level of those people, how close they are to, you know, to the king, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't get a chance to talk to those folks, well then, yeah, they can say you talk to them, but that person, whether it be Biden or Trump, can't be held accountable for it. So there's that, you know, again, I don't hate the fact that he's trying to do something. And I agree. If you're not happy about something, you can easily just sit and complain, or you can go speak to the people that have something to do with it. So at least he's trying. Yeah. I just thought the whole time I saw that whole deal, I just saw that as this is a little power move to try to gain some black voters. And again, what I don't like about it is to think that African-American voters are just that stupid, that it, because Ice Cube said it, we're good. You know, I love NWA too. You know, no Vaseline still goes hard, but I'm still have a brain, right? But unfortunately, it worked, right? If you think of some of these things, it worked. Look at all the reaction. And now you got people pissed off at Ice Cube. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
That's just dumb.
That's so just ridiculous. Dumb. And I love the way he stood up to Cuomo and had that conversation with him and called Cuomo out every time. He's like, no, you were misleading. That lead-in was very misleading. You say it, I work with them. I didn't work with them. Stop it. And it was a very civil conversation, but very serious. Even when Chris Cuomo tried to interrupt him, he's like, hold up.
No, it totally was. And I think, you know, Cuomo, I think he acknowledged the fact that I
apologized.
Apologized, which is what you should do. But the problem is not everybody watches CNN and watches Cuomo. So it's the clickbait story that gets the most traction.
Exactly, which is why I can't believe we fell for that tweet. Jesus, please stop.
Yeah, yeah, happens. You know, but then the other thing that I saw was the situation with your governor.
Governor Whitmer.
Yes, mm-hmm. Governor Whitmer. That whole thing has just been something that just blew my mind. You know, what the FBI caught, found out, the whole deal, right? It's just a crazy story.
Yeah.
And I would have hoped, regardless of your beef, right? Regardless of your beef, that any leader would reach out. Hey, you know, how are you? How's your family? I'm glad we stopped this. This is wrong. I'm still not cool with you, but I don't want to see you hurt or anything. Nope, not a word. And then so at this rally in Michigan, you know, he's yelling about you need to get your governor to open up the city and you know, get the economy going. And people started chanting, lock her up. And he kind of chuckled. And then he was like, lock them all up, which, of course, he could easily say, hey, I didn't say lock her up. You know, I just kind of chuckled at what some things they were saying. But why would you even do that? Like, I just don't understand like that. And I think, you know what's funny? I think those are the things that really upset a lot of people, make them not like him, It's not so much his policy. Not a lot of people have came to me about his policies, at least not a whole lot, some of it. But it's just that type of stuff. Like, why would you even do that?
Let me say this real quick. I am shaking my head and sighing in disbelief, not because he didn't call and say, I'm sorry about this. I hope you're okay. And my prayers are, hope and prayers to you and the family.
Thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers, hope and prayers, biscuits and cheese, whatever, cheese and grits. And the fact that he chuckled at the lock her up chant. I'm more in disbelief that you would expect something else from him. Why? What has he shown you that says that he would even think of doing that? I mean, this is a man who he's shown zero regard for anybody who he deems as an enemy. He thinks this is all a movie, right? This is all a big giant movie. And in the movie, you can say whatever you feel and talk tough, and you're going to lock up your political adversaries. Here's the problem with that. That's the shit that dictators do. And I don't understand how people don't see this yet.
How do I word it? Do I think dictator? More so narcissist. But
that's a trait of a dictator, yes. Narcissism is a trait.
But I always hope, and maybe this is just my bad for trying to find the good in people, that somewhere there's a little ounce of decency in somebody that in that moment you just wouldn't say anything. But it just shocks me that why would we even go there? And I agree with Whitmer, like the amount of that type of rhetoric, the things that it incites in these people who plan this plot, these domestic terrorists, right? It's calling what it is. They're domestic terrorists that have this plan to do this.
Yep.
They're getting riled up, and it's just crazy.
They're not just getting riled up. He started it. All caps, liberate Michigan, liberate Virginia. Guess what? Governor Northam was also on that hit list. He was on that kidnap list.
But to his point, he didn't say kidnap the governors. I'm just playing both. You know how I do. Playing
I'm hanging both sides. This shit is over.
He didn't say that, but.
You've been hanging out with Reggie Mantle way too long. You're picking up his traits.
So he didn't say that, so I can totally see how that argument would come up. And people tried to say he's doing that. He hasn't physically said that to do with anybody. But you're right. It causes that type of verbiage, rhetoric, that causes problems. This is why my goal is, let's just be nice to people, treat people well. Don't be like this bullshit with the girl's ex-boyfriend.
Oh, yeah.
treat people better than that, and maybe we'll have a better world. Did you see this bullshit?
Oh, yeah. oh, my God. Crazy stuff in this bullshit this week, which is a tweet that came that says, my ex from last year posted 6 years strong with his girlfriend.
Kudos to her because she owned it. Mm-hmm. She owned the fact that I was a side piece. She didn't know that. Mm-hmm. Shitty way to find out. But she found out. She could have went and tried to, contact his girlfriend and tell her, hey, girl, let me tell you how I know your boyfriend. she didn't. She just, as she said in her tweet, I just took the L.
Yeah.
But what I hate is that when people hear those stories, they're like, this is why men ain't shit. Like, all of us aren't bad. I've never done anything like that. And I don't see how you do it. Like, how do you have a full-on relationship with two people at the same time where they both feel like you're their significant other, and you do this for years? Like, how do you juggle that kind of time?
Apparently pretty easily, because this guy did it. And yes, he is a piece of shit, but this is a perfect example of why. If you are dating somebody and you find out they're cheating, don't go after the other person.
No.
And I always say this one, because you're not in a relationship with the other person. You're in a relationship with the person you're in a relationship with. That's who you need to be mad at. That's who you need to hold accountable, not the other person. Because sometimes the other person has no idea.
True. But what's funny is I've heard stories of people that found out that their man was cheating in a relationship with someone else. Mm-hmm. They get a hold of the girl. They meet up for coffee. They talk. They confront the guy together. And then they wind up becoming close friends out of the deal. And so I've heard those type of stories that can happen. But you're right. I mean, don't go going after the other person. It's not the right thing to do. And it depends. Maybe this makes you feel better. You know, maybe as a person, you're like, you know what? To clear my conscience, I'm going to go confront and tell this person. Maybe. But
no, that's just pure revenge. If I ain't happy, nobody's happy. That's all that is.
Well, he better not be happy, right?
Well, we're looking at this crazy woman and this other bullshit I saw. A Virginia woman who was on vacation in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, right?
That's the first problem.
Well, the real problem comes in social media because she's doing it for not for the gram, but doing it for TikTok. And granted, she did get 542,000 views and 75,000 likes. So she's definitely done a lot more than I have on TikTok. Well, first of all, signing up because I don't even have a TikTok. But she was feeding a black bear pieces of watermelon. Okay, there's a joke in here somewhere.
Stop it. Don't tell me. Stop it. Don't tell me she did.
Holy shit. I just realized. She's feeding a black bear watermelon.
Fried chicken and a little bowl of Kool-Aid. Red flavored.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. I can't believe that. But yeah, I'm reading the article. It says pieces of watermelon, among other food items, including chocolate.
Well, yeah, chocolate.
I'm like, here's the thing about this. We've seen people do crazy things with wild animals. Like, I think there was a black woman recently in one of the zoos that was inside the lion pit. Mm-hmm. Hi, waving at the lion. And I'm like, okay, that's crazy. And then I remember even going to in Charleston, Patriots Point, which is great golf course. You ever go there, get a chance to play that course, great one. But we're going out there one day and just talking to the starter, waiting to tee off. And he tells us a story about this older couple coming from up north. Matter of fact, I think they came from Ohio. Mm-hmm. Oh, so the guy's going to play. The woman isn't. She's just riding in a cart with him. You know, it's her husband. Cool. And the starter just notices she's got a loaf of bread, just a random loaf of bread. So he just asks, so what's the bread for? What's the bread about? She goes, oh, it's to feed the gators. When will we learn, leave Mother Nature alone?
I don't know. I mean, that's not my thing. I get people like to do it and it's cool. I don't like the people that do it for social media likes.
Right.
I don't like those type of folks. But you've seen the story with those drive-through kind of, I don't want to call it a drive-through zoo, but it was this one, I don't know what country it was in, but this woman got out to take pictures and got mauled by a tiger. And as the signs say, don't get out the car. Mm-hmm. You know, stay in the car, keep your windows rolled up. She wanted to get out, get a selfie, and died. And I'm like, why would you even do this? Like, that's the risk you take. If it doesn't happen, okay, awesome, you made it. But that's a huge risk for a photo. But yeah, I let nature do its thing. I stay here in the city. And when I go hiking, I don't go hiking in those places that might see mountain lions. I went hiking this weekend. I was all nervous because we talked about the mountain lion deal last week. I'm like, man, this happens.
And the funny thing about that video, because I finally watched it, but when we talked about it, I hadn't seen it. And when I watched it, I knew he got away. But my heart started racing watching that video because I'm like, if I were in that, I would have died. Because at some point, I would have turned and tried to run, which is the worst thing you can do.
But I wouldn't have known to do what he did. Mm-hmm. I've been running, screaming. I don't know what I did. Throwing rocks.
And it's funny because people are like, oh, all those rocks he passed, why'd he wait so late to throw it? Throwing it close to the Cubs probably got him killed a lot quicker.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, yeah. I don't know. That was just crazy, but. But hey, black bears like watermelon. Didn't know that.
Learn something new every day. Hey, you know, we talked about possibly doing this at some point, and now's a great time to do it. You've been spent a lot of time in HR, hiring people, recruiting people, whether it's from minimum wage jobs all the way up to the six-figure jobs. What about some of Terrell's tips?
Terrell's tips. So something I've been seeing a lot of lately, the cool thing about LinkedIn, it gave people the chance to put that kind of stamp on their picture that they're open to work, right? Mm-hmm. So as recruiters are looking, we can just easily identify that somebody's open to work. So I think that's great. What I'm seeing a lot of is people just randomly, you know, connecting with you on LinkedIn and then just shooting you a quick note. Hey, Yanni, I'm looking for a role in engineering. Attach my resume. If you know anything, let me know. Without even connecting with you. Hey, Yanni, how are you doing? I've watched podcasts or something, or I see, you know, we went to such the same school or in the same fraternity. Like, connect, build a relationship with a recruiter. I think it's great to reach out to potential employers, potential hiring managers. That's called networking. But as a network, you walk up and kind of build a relationship first, and then you ask, you know. So same as in sales, right? If you're trying to sell something, you just don't walk up to somebody and just be like, hey, you want to buy this or no? You know, no.
Why not?
There's a little bit of a, hey, you know, how you doing? And da, da, da. You know, even drug dealers just don't walk up, like, hand you a bag of weed. You want it? No. They talk to you a little bit, you know, and I think it's the same. You got to talk to, not that I know, I haven't been around any drug dealers. I'm just saying, I've watched a lot of TV.
You watched The Wire. I watched
The Wire. I saw how it goes. But I think you have to, as you're looking for that next career move, networking, reaching out to people is 100% the best thing you could do right now in this market compared to just applying and hoping somebody, you know, grabs your resume out of a applicant tracking system. But when you do, build a relationship with them, connect, show how y'all know each other or something, and then ask. And I think you'll go a lot further, because I get a lot of these messages and sometimes I just either don't have time to reply to them, mm-hmm. but I've had people reach out and just kind of say the right thing. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, how can I help you out? You know, I'm happy to help. So that's my tip for the week. Build a relationship before you ask.
Do people hire people are they more likely to hire people they know?
It all depends. I think there are times you want to hire people you've worked with before, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people I know that I would never hire.
Good point.
Yeah, I would never hire them, but I mean, you know, but I don't grab beers all day long. Know them. But yeah, I mean, it's a great thing to do to find people that you do know, or find people who know people that know you. Right. And so then you can say, hey, I'm great friends with so-and-so, or I go to church with so-and-so. She told me to reach out to you. That'll get a person to respond a lot of times. So.
And hopefully they're not the that other person in that 6 year strong relationship.
Yeah.
That might go a little bad.
I used to date your boyfriend while y'all were together. And I noticed you're looking for a marketing manager.
We have something in common.
Thought I'd see my resume if you want. You know, just grab a coffee. I know where y'all live. I've been there.
I like what you did with.
I know. I like what you did with.
Oh my God! Look, so another thing we talked about was dissecting lyrics. I work in radio, so always around. Listen to a lot of music. And one of my favorite songs, it's by one of your favorite artists, Megan Thee Stallion.
Megan the Trainor? Oh, the Stallion.
Yeah, Megan Thee Stallion. And, you know, the thing with Megan, she blew up pretty fast. But I thought, like, Girls in the Hood, I think is just like a perfect Southwest record. You know, it samples Boys in the Hood from Eazy-E. And her flow on that is amazing. But there's some lines in there that I thought deserved some attention. Like she says, and these are just three lines we're going to take from it. And these three lines are in succession. I ain't lying about my nut just to make a ninja happy. Now, I will say this. I appreciate that. Don't lie to me. Don't boost my self-esteem up by going, oh my God, that's the best I've ever had. And then when we break up, you talk shit about me. So I appreciate honesty in this. You're just laughing. Don't you appreciate the honesty?
You know, maybe in my 20s, you know, my late teens, 20s of loving hip hop and rap. Now at 45, when you said that, I just wanted to clutch my pearls, you know, just like, oh my goodness, what are we talking about on the radio? But if that's what we're going to speak to, of course, I wouldn't want someone to lie to me. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe. I mean, it's my birthday. Don't. I mean, it's my birthday. What if it?
I'm not saying shame me. I'm just saying don't lie to me.
Yeah.
But that's like when guys ask the stupidest question. Did you come? If you have to ask, then you already know the answer. Which goes right into the next line, which she goes, lifestyle when a ninja can't fit a magnum. So, you know, what it shows here for hers, size doesn't matter. Because, okay. You know, it's, you know, the magnum is the big size. If you can't fit the magnum, all right, then cool. Here's a lifestyle. I think you're afraid to comment on this because you're afraid of what people are going to think on your size when you say this. You see, so that's why you're just laughing and don't have anything to say. So I'm just going to move on to the next line.
I'm laughing because I'm like, you know what? I think we need to meet on these song lyrics before we do them on the podcast just to make sure we're aligned because I'm just like, you know, my mama listens to this thing. I got to watch how I say this stuff.
Well, you better tell your mama don't listen to this part of the podcast.
I'll skip episode 6. Just skip episode 6.
Because she's definitely not going to like the next line. So it never happened if the dick wasn't snapping. Now, comedians have made this joke a long time ago about how women, especially Chris Rock, you got to give him a 7-dick curve, right? Mm-hmm. You never ask a woman how many people she's been with for this exact reason. She just said it never happened. If it wasn't good, it didn't happen. So if you were to ask her, there are a number of people she's left off the list.
Yeah. I would agree with that logic. I mean, if it wasn't good, it didn't happen. Don't talk about it. I mean, have I ever been to, you know, some restaurants that weren't good? I would never tell you about it. Look, I went to this one place. It was awful. It was so awful.
Oh, I'll tell you.
I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to be like, how was your week this week? It's good. You know, but I wouldn't say anything about that. So, yeah, it was awful. Didn't happen.
So if I asked about that restaurant, would you tell me you never went?
I might say, you know, you might want to try it for yourself. You know, tell me what you think.
Well, that just takes us back to the college days. Let's toast to leaving that in the memory banks.
So, it's Monday, steak and wine night. So I know I'm wearing a shirt that has some bourbons and stuff on it, but today is going to be a nice little cab after busy Monday here at the home office, and then after listening to those song lyrics, I'm going to
You need some wine to clutch your pearls
to. Yeah. Oh, good.
Wine to clutch your pearls to. Well, I'm going with the four roses. Let's see if can I get four roses. There we go. Four roses.
Yeah.
The small ones. Yeah. Because nothing goes better with Megan Thee Stallion than some bourbon on the rocks.
Whatever. I got nothing.
What are we toasting to today?
Well, your 49ers won last night.
Indeed.
So no point in toasting to that.
How about we toast to, just got this notification. We're recording this on Monday and just got the notification that the debate commission has said they will mute Trump and Biden's microphones during the initial 2-minute response to avoid interruptions. So cheers to that, but that means we're not going to have a lot to talk about after this next debate.
I'm not going to hold my breath on that, but we'll see.
Exactly. He's just going to yell across the room. Shut up!
He's going to start typing in the chat.
Oh, he's going to say something, and then Biden's going to look at him and go, "You're on mute." Quote of 2020.
Yeah.
I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, at RGRT Pod.
Yes. Send us some of your random thoughts and some of your bullshit so we can talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.